going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Quarterback competition sure to be interesting, if nothing else. And Scott Petrak on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You are 100% correct about that.
Thank you. What's going on, guys?
I was struck with this as the picks were rolling. I thought they're trying to recreate the 2023 Cleveland Browns, the Kevin Stefanski team, the Jim Schwartz defense. You add two defensive players to a team that is so screaming for offensive help early on that I thought, man, you want to beef up that defense again. And then you add Stefanski type of offensive players, running backs, tight ends, and a couple of quarterbacks that Kevin might be able to win with. It looks to me like they're just trying to roll the clock back and forget last year with Ken Dorsey as offensive coordinator. What do you think?
Yeah, I heard you guys talk about that earlier. I don't know if I agree with that wholeheartedly, Jeff. I mean, I know where you're going with it. And I think that's the formula. I think it's more about the formula, not necessarily 2023. And if you're not going to have a blue chip franchise quarterback, which it appears like they don't have, we'll see if somebody emerges, then then you have to do it with defense and a running game. And yeah, we've seen Stefanski do that before, whether it was, you know, 2023 is probably the best example. It's the most recent one. They went to the playoffs. And I do think we're going to see a return to that style of offense as well with the two tight ends and more running backs or more running the ball and try to get back to a premier running attack, which they had, you know, for multiple years early in Kevin Stefanski's tenure. So I think it was based on, okay, we don't have the quarterback. Let's figure out another way to win and compete. And also without forcing things in 2025, I think there was an eye toward the future. You know, that started with the first trade where the key reason they did it was to be able to get that 2026 first round draft pick.
Do you think when training camp rolls around, they're going to sell more snow cones, cotton candy, or elephant ears? What will be the big hit at training camp?
Well, if I'm the one making the decision, it'll be elephant ears.
Yeah, I'm going to go with
it. Not such a big fan of the other two.
Snow cone sometimes can be a good relief on a 90 degree day. I'll give you that, but there's never enough flavor in there. There's a part of me that just doesn't. Okay, you want competition? That's great. The other part of it is, why didn't they just take Shedeur Sanders earlier in the draft? Like, I'm still trying to figure out exactly how this went down and if they changed anything on the fly, especially after Jalen Milroe was picked.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if Milroe was their guy. I feel like if he was, then they just should have moved up 5 picks and gotten him instead of letting the Seahawks take him 2 picks before them. I know they liked Dillon Gabriel for a long time. From the Senior Bowl, they had good interactions. You know, they had him in for a visit. They went out to Eugene to work him out. I think he was the guy on the radar for a quarterback pick in that area of the draft, right? And they wound up taking him to the bottom of the third round. I think that was their plan the entire time. Now, we can argue about that plan because I don't like that pick. And, you know, obviously you give the guy a chance and maybe he surprises me, and I get it. He threw for 18,000 yards and 155 touchdowns. Was phenomenal. Oregon was really good, won a ton of games. I don't like short quarterbacks. And
I agree.
He's a short quarterback, and he's not. He doesn't have a big frame. He's kind of narrow. Doesn't throw it unbelievable. He throws it fine, and you know you see some Scott Sayo. He spins it really well. He doesn't have the athleticism that a Kyler Murray does. You know, I mean, Kyler Murray and Bryce Young were both number one picks, and I had somebody tell me, oh, they're both smaller than Gabriel. That's fine. I didn't like either of those picks either. And I think the jury's still out on both guys. But I'll tell you what, Kyle Murray throws it great, and he's an incredible athlete that can create plays when they break down and get space and get out in the open to find lanes. And I don't think Dylan Gabriel is the same kind of athlete. So, you know, he feels like a backup quarterback to me, and maybe that's fine in the third round. But then Shedeur Sanders, on top of that, and I have no problem with the trade of moving up to get Shedeur Sanders. I think that's great value. We've talked about it a million times. I like Sanders. Like, I wouldn't have hated if they took him at two. Like, throughout the draft process, I like this kid. So I think he's a great value in the fifth round. I think he has a better chance to be a starter in this league than Gabriel does. And maybe I'll be proved wrong. And obviously the Browns didn't feel that way because they took Gabriel ahead of him. But that's, you know, there's two picks in this in the Browns draft that had me scratching my head. And Gabriel was one of them, especially that high. I think you could have waited and taken him in the fourth or fifth round.
See, that's the one thing I thought about it too, Scott. I didn't think anybody was clamoring to draft Dylan. And at that point, you know, the one quarterback that everybody liked in this draft was already off the board.
Yep.
You know, and then Jackson Dart, the Giants trade up for him. That's interesting. I don't mind the idea. And going back to the piece you wrote, fine, bring in four guys and let them compete for the job. And, you know, maybe Pickett improves, you know, and maybe the chip on his shoulder is huge. Sanders gets a chance to come in and silence everybody. Dylan Gabriel gets a chance to say, hey, I did it in college. I can do the same thing in the pros. I've had people tell me they absolutely love the guy. I'm with you. I'm not crazy about a 5'11 quarterback. Yeah. Russell Wilson did just fine at 5'11, you know, playing in Seattle. Yeah. Who knows? Let's see what happens. Let's see them compete. If you're putting money on it now, who's the starter?
I'd go with Kenny Pickett because I think that's who they want to start because they feel like he has a chance to turn into something that he hasn't been to this point, right? They think there's an upside with Kenny Pickett. I'm not going to go as far as what Sam Darnold did in Minnesota, but that's, you know, that's the blueprint. That's what they're trying to recreate is get a former first-round pick. And I know Darnold was the third pick in a quarterback-heavy draft, and Pickett was a 20th pick in a terrible quarterback draft, so there's a huge difference there. But the hope is that they can unlock something with Kenny Pickett, and he turns out to be the long-term starter. Like, that's, you know, the best-case scenario for this organization. So I think they will give him that chance. They know Joe Flacco is a short-term answer at best. You know, he could play, start for a year or two. I mean, he's 40 years old. Now, that doesn't mean Joe can't win the job and be the starter week one. I think they know what they have in Joe. So I think Kenny Pickett gets a chance to win that job. If he fails, then it's Joe Flacco or one of these rookies. And you know, if I were going to handicap it like a horse race, I'd go Pickett, Sanders, Flacco. And that's because I like Shedeur Sanders. I do think he'll be motivated by this. I'm sure the Browns are hoping he will be humbled by sliding to the fifth round. You know, you hear all the stories. Obviously, everybody knows the stories. That's why he slid as far as he did. Maybe that humbles him. Maybe he comes in and says, hey, you know, I got to work for everything. And he plays great because I think he's more talented than Dylan Gabriel. And maybe I'm wrong. I think they have a lot of similar skills or traits. They're both accurate. They're both good decision makers, which obviously is what the Browns are looking for. He's bigger than Gabriel. I think his arm's big enough. I went back and saw him make plenty of throws. I said, okay, this kid's got enough. So I would go Pickett, the favorite, Sanders, and then Flacco. And maybe I'm not giving Dylan Gabriel his just due, but I'm having a hard time getting over the size.
But you don't think that the Browns agree with you on that, right? Based on the draft pick?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. I think Gabriel's higher on their board, but things change when guys get here, and they're going to be right next to each other, right? Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders are going to be next to each other every step of the way. And you go, man, that kid's bigger. And, you know, I need to see these guys throw in person because I think that's hugely valuable. Maybe the ball comes out of Gabriel's hands better. But, you know, can he see? How does he find those lanes? And that's, you know, that's not that easy to evaluate in OTAs and, you know, mini or training camp because there's not necessarily a full pass rush and those kind of things. But I think my guess is I think Sanders is a better quarterback. That's how I felt coming out. So it hasn't changed just because Gabriel got picked two rounds ahead.
So who gets the reps in practice? Because that's going to be huge. Right. It's going to be huge.
Yeah. It's going to be fascinating. You know, I think – and the problem is, you know, Kenny Pickett hasn't been here. He hasn't been in Tommy Reese and Kevin Stefanski and Tommy Reese's offense. So he needs the reps. It's not you could just say, hey, he knows what he's doing. I think you can with Flacco. So I don't think Flacco's going to get a ton of reps. And I think it's going to be the other three guys getting a bunch of them. And I would expect Pickett to get most of them and then split. The rookies will get an even split. So, you know, I don't know. Is it 40 for Pickett? I don't know. I'm trying to do some quick math in my head. 25, 25, and 10, you know, and Flacco kind of gets the scraps. And then if it looks like he's going to be the guy, then you really ramp him up. Like, I could see that being the case early in the offseason program.
Scott Petrak joining us, Chronicle Telegram, BrownZone.com. Scott has a great analysis on the quarterbacks.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Running back is interesting to me. You drafted two who were really highly thought of, really productive in college. And I can't think anything other than it's Judkins, it's Sampson, and I don't know if Jerome Ford is on this team. Is he somebody you trade to try and find a wide receiver? Pierre Strong, I can't imagine he's on this team because that's Sampson. And if anything, it screams to me, okay, you've got two new guys, rookies, they're going to play, and maybe you could bring in Nick Chubb. Maybe. How does it play out, you think?
Yeah, that's interesting, Jeff, because – my initial thought, and, you know, Andrew Berry got asked about this on Saturday, was you draft two running backs, that's the end of Nick Chubb. And Andrew Berry didn't shoot that down. He said, never say never, I'm paraphrasing, never say never, but the landscape of this room changed this weekend. So I don't think their plan is to bring back Nick Chubb, but if they were to get an offer for Jerome Ford that they thought was worthwhile, could I see Chubb coming back as a third back mentor, maybe, but he's going to know he's not going to get a bunch of carries. I mean, that's the problem. His role would be so diminished that I think a more likely scenario is what played out with Kareem Hunt in 2023, and that Nick Chubb remains unsigned. I'm not saying he will, but let's say he remains unsigned. Somebody gets hurt, and then you go call Nick Chubb in week two and say, hey, let's see what he's got left. That feels more likely to me because, hey, they're so invested in these two rookies, and, you know, I would expect them to play 95% of the time at running back, assuming they're healthy. Now, you know, I like both guys. I really do. And I like Junkins a lot. I don't know if I would take him running back that high. I think you could have waited until the third round and taken somebody. You could have waited until the fourth round and taken Sampson. And I think Sampson could be a starter in this. So they got two starters. You know, we can talk about value all you want, but I like these two picks. You know, we can quibble about where they were taken. And then the other question is, you talked about the needs. They have a needed safety. They have a needed wide receiver. They have a needed left tackle, I think. So did it make sense to take a second running back when you have those other needs? You know, obviously he was the highest guy on the board, and we talked about their commitment to the run. They're going to recommit to the run. So I understand it. I just – those are kind of the small things you look at and go, okay, did they really need two running backs when you might have been able to address a different position?
They draft Carson Schwesinger. What does that mean for JOK, and where do you think we are with that? Like, I was excited to hear that he had walked into the building the other day, but,
yeah.
I mean, when they drafted him, it made a lot of people go, uh-oh, maybe this isn't good. Worse.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a JOK replacement. There's no doubt. Now, I asked Andrew Berry about that, and he said he understood it, but they don't have any kind of word that JOK is not going to play in 2025. It's still, you know, nebulous is the word he's been using. He said they would have taken Schwesinger regardless. You know, I take that with a grain of salt. I'm not sure I believe that. When I said there were two picks I didn't like, that's the other one I don't like. And it's nothing against Schwesinger as a player. You know, really productive at UCLA for one season only, which I have questions about that. But I get it. They think he's on the rise. I just would not take a linebacker that high. I just don't think there's enough value there. And either the Browns. And so I guess my point is the Browns have always talked about the linebackers, the least important part on, you know, piece on defense. They went they made an exception to trade up and take JOK. And that was in the 50s, 2001, right? 4 years ago. So you're telling me that Schlesinger is the same exception as JOK was 4 years later? Like, you found two of these great exceptions that you have to take these linebackers in second round? I don't understand that. I don't necessarily agree with that. I get if JOK doesn't play, you need a replacement, so I see why they did it. But I think you could have gotten way more value at 33 and then taken a linebacker somewhere later in the draft.
Scott Petrak joining us. Wide receiver was ignored in the draft. There are some names out there, and I'm going to have a list of guys that are going to make Andy puke coming up a little later on in the show.
Great.
Do they have to add somebody here? You have Jerry Jeudy. You have Cedric Tillman. I don't think you have anybody after that. And Cedric Tillman didn't come back after a concussion. Is he good to go? I mean, that position group is really weak.
Well, I agree. Don't have any doubt you have to add somebody. And, I'm sure they'll bring undrafted guys in when they have rookie mania camp in a couple weeks. I think they need to go sign a veteran. They value their receivers more than people outside the building. Yeah, I'm sure they think that maybe Michael Woods has a shot. Jamari Thrash is going to be a second-year guy. Didn't show anything as a rookie. David Bell, they were always hiring David Bell. He doesn't separate very well. He's got good hands. He's coming off an injury. So, I think they're hoping one of those guys or two of those guys emerges, but I think there's a big hole there after Jerry Jeudy. I think they definitely need to bring in at least one guy, maybe two guys. And, I'm sure they're going to focus on tight ends and play a bunch of two tight ends, but, eventually you got to spread it out and go three wides. And, if you're third and 12, you can't just run it up the middle. So you got to add some receivers.
So, Scott, when I saw the reaction video right away to the Sanders pick, I thought what everybody else did. And then it hit me. I was like, wait a minute. How should you react to a fifth-round pick? Like, if you say, okay, it's fifth-round pick, anybody, wide receiver from State U, that's probably the reaction you're going to see. And everyone's kind of making a big deal about the reaction there. He's a fifth-round pick at the end of the day. That's I think people are going to have to figure that out.
Yeah, I Kevin Stefanski said sometimes the timing is off on those videos.
Sure.
And I think he's right on this one because there's nobody on the phone. Like, usually when you have those reactions, it's the guy on the phone telling him he got picked. Everybody erupts. Nobody's on a phone. This felt to me like it was almost the camera light came on and like, oh, man, they're showing us. Let's try to clap. I'm not reading too much into that. I'm sure they were excited. Now, it's the end of a long week. It's a difficult trade. Right, not a difficult trade, but there's a lot goes into that trade. So was there some emotion that they're like, oh, my gosh, it got complete and we're done with the draft and we got this guy and maybe stuff comes with this? Maybe. But I would not read too much into it, and I do think the timing had plenty to do with it, the timing of the video.
Scott Petrak joining us. Let's go to the first pick. You trade out. You don't get the wide receiver, who everybody thought was the best wide receiver in the draft. You do get a great return on it. I can't argue with the return that they received. You're going to put Mason Graham in the middle of that defensive line. That does what for the defense? It does what for Myles Garrett? It does what for the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, I think it improves their pass rush. I heard that Brian Horlip. If fans don't notice Mason Graham this year, then it's a terrible draft pick. He should show up. He should have, five or six sacks. He should create opportunities for Myles Garrett. He should be good in the run game with tackles for loss. Like, that's what you need out of your fifth pick, the fifth overall pick. I think he was a top five player in this draft. Now, it's not like I'm some defensive tackle expert, but that's how the experts felt. I liked what I watched of him on film. I liked addressing the interior. I think that helps Myles Garrett. You pair him with Mike Hall. I hope Mike Hall is the player you thought and stays healthy and stays on the field and not suspended. So I think he has a chance of a big impact on this draft.
I agree with you. Scott, thank you, buddy. Great work over the weekend.
Appreciate it. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks,
Scott Petrak, brownzone.com. You can go back and read all of Scott's work, and his analysis on the quarterback competition that's on the way is really top-notch good stuff.